Welcome to the Wingman Men's Moment, a weekly podcast of the Wingman Nation Men's Ministry, a scripturally driven men's ministry with three goals for every man: striving to be better husbands, better fathers, and more Christ-like and godly men. Join Wingman Nation co-founders Randy Ferreira and Pastor Jay Dennis and an occasional special guest as they discuss issues relevant to a man's needs, struggles, habits, and hurts. And now, here's Randy and Pastor Jay. Hello, Wingman. How are you today? We're glad that you're joining our podcast, the Wingman Men's Moment. My name's John Delaney, and I'm your podcast producer. I'm here with co-owners and co-founders of Wingman, Pastor Jay Dennis and Randy Ferreira. Good morning, gents.
Good morning.
Hey, John.
Hope you all are well today. You look healthy. You look well. We're excited. Today we're continuing our focus on men being the spiritual leaders of their home. We've been studying the nine actions of a faithful father. With that, Randy, you want to take over?
Yeah, thank you, John. Hey, Jay, good to see you.
Good morning, Randy, John.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little about fathers, and both Jay and I have some interesting stories about our own personal experiences with our dads, and we'll get into those a little bit later. But, you know, the father is a vitally important part of the home, you know, especially spiritually. You know, dads, we have to set the spiritual temperature of our home.
That's
and
right.
Most of us don't really realize that, but our family's looking for us to do that. You know, there's about six different points we can give you, and we will do that in a second. But just to recognize the fact, guys, that our family is not going to get much spiritual leadership unless we do it.
That's right.
You know, our wives, the moms, are really good at it. But they're not called biblically to do it, and we are. And
good
they
point.
Just sort of step up and do it because we're not.
Exactly.
So we need to do that. And so six points to do that. One would be, as a spiritual father, to place our children third in our order of priorities.
It's important.
It's very important. And that sounds weird if you're listening to us for the first time. but we talked about this earlier, God being number one priority, our wives being number two. And when we're in unison with the Lord as a husband and wife, then our children become our third priority, but obviously an important priority.
That's right.
Number two would be having family meals together at least once a day.
Oh,
if
so
more,
yeah.
wonderful, but if not, at least once a day. And during those times, pay attention and be engaging with our family.
It's a great time to pray with your family and to read scripture and to download your day and
download the day and see how their day went and how you can minister to them about things that have happened during the day with them, even if they're little.
It's an excellent time.
That's where it starts. So number three is then disciplining as a father. You know, we all have to do that. Many of us shrug that responsibility to our wives, which is wrong. We, you know, it's a team effort, but the dad should lead it. But we need to do it in love.
Right.
And never, never in anger.
No.
Even though it does make us mad sometimes and, we can't help but be angry. We have to take a deep breath, ask God for help, and then try to do it in a loving spirit.
Exactly.
Number four would be modeling and teaching good manners. And that sounds like a big task, but even just the simple things. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Looking people in the eyes. Teach them how to shake hands.
Uh-huh.
You know, being respectful to their mom and other people. There's lots of things you can.
Right. Don't assume that they're going to pick that up. They have to be taught that.
They do.
And it's caught, too. So as you're doing it, they will catch it from you.
Yes, they will catch it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Number five, intentionally spend time with each of your children and doing it consistently. They're all different, and we can't just assume that, hey, if we spend time together as a family, that each of our children are going to feel equally important. We have to do that individually as well in all these areas. So take the time, fathers and daughters, fathers and sons, you know, spend that time, daughter to daughter.
Yes.
Meaning you with one daughter, you with another daughter.
That's right. Focus time.
Yes. Number six is set the digital device rule and enforce them through a contract. Digital device rule. There's a lot of things in that we could unpack there, but just to
something like as simple as don't give out your personal information online. I mean, that's something that we need to just drill into our children. Never, ever give out your personal information because you don't know who that person is out there that's gathering that information.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like the time rules on it. I want to share an example with you real quick. I have a gentleman that goes to our church, blended family, and when they come to church, he goes like this because they have three teenage children, and the children hand going into church.
So he puts his hand out.
He puts his hand out.
Our listeners can't see your action.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
He puts his hand out.
Oh, I'm with you. Oh, he puts his hand out and says, "Hand, give me your phone." And they pile the phones on him, and he shoves them in his pocket, and they go into church with no phones.
Interesting.
So it's a good idea.
It is. So definitely try to enforce those rules lovingly, of course, and with explanations of why.
Sure.
Not just give me your phone and, tell them why.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Express the importance of that time together and why you're asking for their digital devices and enforcing that. And today, guys, we want to zero in on one of the most important actions a father can give to his child. And that is his blessing.
That's right.
I'm going to give that.
Randy, that's so important. Every child needs and wants his or her dad's blessing. The blessing of a parent is the most important thing I think a parent can do outside of sharing Jesus Christ with that child, and even sharing Jesus as a big part of this blessing. The word bless means to speak well of. It includes not only what you say to your child, but how you say it. Without the family blessing, a child will go through life with, it's like an empty space. It's like there is a vacuum there. And that child will attempt to fill that vacuum with things other than God if we do not do what the Bible tells us to do as dads and bless our children. Listen to Mark 10:13-16, because Jesus gives us a powerful example of this blessing. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. So we want to share with you today practically how to bless your child.
Yes.
Here's some steps.
Thank you. And it's interesting because in the Bible, fathers would bless their children by saying, "I'm going to give you this blessing from the Lord."
Right.
It was a verbal blessing.
Sure.
Yes.
We're talking about positive encouragement and direction as a blessing, although you can be praying for blessings and even say the word blessing to your children, which is very important. But how to pass down a blessing to our children? One, I think, and most importantly, is introducing them to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Our primary job as fathers, guys, in life is to get our kids to know the Lord. Most people who become Christians do so by the age of 18. And most which do so before the age of 13.
It's true.
So it's critical to start that off early in life. I call it the Jesus factor. They need to understand what does that mean? How does Jesus come into their life? How do they develop a personal relationship? Yes, by watching you, but we need to give them specific advice and a sort of a pathway to understand that. Number two is to express love to them, not only verbally, but through physical touch. You know, kisses and hugs, a pat on the back, high fives, constantly touching them and, so that they feel loved in that regard, as well as our verbal affirmations, and Jesus blessed through his physical touch.
He did. We see that in the passage we read, that Jesus actually touched the children. Number three is use uplifting, encouraging, and affirming words. This is a spoken blessing. It may be saying, I love you, or I believe in you, or something as simple as saying, you know, you are a winner. And it's avoiding negative words, avoiding negative nicknames or negative comparisons. Things like, oh, why can't you be more like your sister? Why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your friend? You see, when that happens, that is an almost like putting a curse on a child.
It is.
Yeah. And it may be funny at the moment, but that child could take that throughout his life or her life, and that be a real issue and create a vulnerability. So, yes. Dads, we need to be really, really careful about this. And then number four is unconditional acceptance. You accept your child for who he or she is, not for what you want them to become. That's not to say that you're going to accept their lifestyle. When they become adults, they're going to make choices perhaps that you don't agree with, and it's against your convictions. So we're not saying that you embrace their lifestyle. We're saying you love them for who they are, regardless of what they ever do or they don't do. When you do that, you're expressing worth and value. You are worth something to me. You are valuable to me. That's what we mean by unconditional acceptance, not of lifestyle, but of who they are as a person.
Yes.
That's great.
And it's, you know, it's amazing, too, because as men, that is very, very difficult because of our ego.
Sure it is.
You know, and where we are in the specific time in our life, you know, we may see that with a son where mm-hmm. we may have be at a certain point in success in our careers and we're aggressive or we're passive and they're the opposite.
Right.
And you just want to like kick them in the behind. What do you mean? Why aren't you doing this? I mean, I want you to, you know, and then that's, I want you to be this. And
it's I. It's yeah. It's all about you. It's not about them.
Right. And it's very difficult to sit back and go, okay,
yeah,
I just want to love you. I want to help you and not try to put your burden of who you are on them. And it's hard. So we do need to pray through that as men and really be conscious of that.
We need a lot of wisdom from God on this
yes.
one.
Yes. Number five is to listen to our children attentively and give them our full attention. The thing that bugs me the most about the society today is we've got this fifth appendage. That's the cell phone. You wake up, you have it. You go to bed, you have it.
I was wondering where he was going with that.
Me too.
It's like another appendage.
This is a men's podcast, you know.
And and our kids seem to have it too. Everything, you know, it's just there all the time. Yeah. So when they're talking, we're getting text messages. Right. You know, when we're trying to spend time at dinner, mm-hmm. our phones are dinging and all of that.
Yep.
You know, or we're so tired, we got the remote and we're sitting on the lazy boy, you know, mm-hmm. and our kid comes up and wants to talk about some things and we kind of, oh, really, really? And you're hitting the remote looking for the next channel. So we have to be aware of that. When our children and when we're engaging, we have to be engaged.
Exactly. Yeah.
Put away the phones, theirs and yours especially, you know, put away the remote. Right. When you're having child time, be engaged, look into their eyes.
Right.
Try to feel what they're feeling and understand where they are at the moment and generally zone in.
Especially when they're teenagers.
Yes.
That's even more.
And have you guys noticed that the older they get, the more they open up toward midnight and beyond? You know, it used to maybe 8 o'clock when it was bedtime or 9 o'clock, but when they become teenagers, begin to open up around 11:30, midnight, and they want to talk. When we are so tired and we're ready to go to bed, they're ready to talk. So, you know, be ready to lose some sleep, dads.
That's right. And here's a scary part about that. If we don't do that,
right.
they are going to find it somewhere else.
That's right.
They will.
And it may not be the path you want them to go down.
That's right.
So we have to do this, guys. Number six, express to our children that he or she has hope-filled future. Encouraged. They're special. They're unique. God has a plan for their lives, personally designed by God, and God is involved in all the details of that. we have to be encouraging to them that they've got a special place in this world and they can make an impact and, and help them see that.
Yes, that's good. Number seven is let your child know that you're always accessible to him or her. You are available. Your child needs to know that no matter where you are or who you are with, if they need you, you will be there. You may be in an important meeting. You may be in some conference, but your child needs to know if he or she needs you, they can get a hold of you at any time. Guys, that is so important because nothing is more important than your child when your child needs you at that moment.
That's right. That's
true.
And then number eight, so vital, pray for and with your child. Bless him or her regardless of their age. And this is where you can do this remotely. You can do it with them, but you pray for them. It's so important to pray for their salvation and then pray for their mate.
Right.
Pray for their friends. Pray daily for their hedge of protection. When they're married, pray for their marriage. Mm-hmm. When they have children, and you have wonderful grandchildren, which the three of us do, and we love every minute of it.
Absolutely.
But to pray for those grandchildren. And so vital that we pray for, but also, when we can, pray with our children. Now, I know, Randy, you and I had different kinds of growing up. I grew up in Arkansas. You grew up in New York. Share a little bit about your dad and about this whole idea of blessing. I know you went through a pretty traumatic experience when you were about 11 years old. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah, yes. So my dad passed away at the age of 48. Mm-hmm. And I was 11, just turning 12. Seventh grade, I guess that is, mm-hmm. sixth or seventh grade.
Tough time.
And yeah, so he worked a lot. He was a factory worker, so I didn't have a whole lot of time with him. But the time that I do remember, I know he was there. But, it was pretty much from that point back, it's sort of a big black screen in my mind. So I only kind of think going forward, for those of you who do have dads or you are a dad, I can tell you by not having a dad in my life that I was all over the place. And I didn't have anyone to look up to other than my older brother, but he was much older. If you're listening, bro, I love you.
Yeah.
but he was 12 years older than me, and he was already out on his own, trying to figure out his new marriage and all of that. Mm. So, no hard feelings there. He was doing his own thing. So I really didn't have anybody as a dad. And, I yearned for that. My mom was a single mom, and she, of course, did the best she could, like all of the single moms. And I have a huge respect for single moms.
Yes.
Now,
they're heroes.
They are heroes, knowing what my mom did and what she went through to raise me. But, not having that father figure there was a gigantic void, void. And fortunately, I ended up at some point back on the right path, but a lot of trouble throughout the years because I did not have guidance from a dad.
And you know, guys, that's a good point for us to insert this. Look around you. There may be young men around you that are without a dad, or they have not a dad who is concerned about their spiritual well-being. Find a young man that you can mentor. Mm-hmm. Find a young man that you can speak into his life and you can encourage him. That is so vital because we are living in a fatherless society. So take advantage of that. Randy, my situation was I had my dad, but he wasn't there spiritually, and there was some abuse. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, very difficult time. Because I longed for that blessing.
Yes.
And I still long for it.
Yeah.
And I remember when he died in 2009, things did get a little better. And I remember I did his funeral. And I read a letter to him. And I've thought so often, I wish I could have said these things to him while he was alive.
Right.
So I would just say, dads, it is not too late to bless your child. You may be 95 years old. Just bless your child. Let your child know how much you love him, you love her. And we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
None of us are perfect. But as you said, Randy, don't dwell on the past. Look toward the future. Start now. It is never too late to do the right thing.
Yes.
Well, guys, we want to encourage you men to bless your child and do it today. Guys, thank you for joining us for another Wingman Men's Moment. Until next week.
Wingman out.
Thank you for listening to the Wingman Men's Moment weekly podcast. The Wingman Men's Ministry is based around the Air Force concept of a wingman. It uses the fighter jet theme and parallels the duties of a wingman in the Air Force, his commitment to his pilot and flight team, and how they're related to the men of your church and their commitment to God in their lives, their families, and their Christian brothers. Visit us at wingmannation.com.